for today's session, coming to you from EPA's Technology Innovation and Field Services Division. Today we'll be joined by two presenters to talk about estimating environmental footprints using CEFA. CEFA stands for the Spreadsheets for Environmental Footprint Analysis. Today's session has been sponsored by the EPA's Technology Innovation and Field Services Division. In just a few moments, I'll turn things over to our two presenters, Carlos Pachon, who's joining us from that very same office, as well as Karen Sherman, who will be providing the majority of today's session and is joining us from EPA Region 9. Before we begin the technical portion of today's broadcast, I'm going to walk through a few gentle reminders for our presenters and participants to make sure everyone knows how the webinar will function. For those who are new to our webinar series, you should have received a registration and reminder email with all of the instructions you'll need to join us for the live broadcast today. That email will ultimately point you to something known as the seminar homepage. On that homepage, you can read more about the broadcast. You'll find links to download the slides, as well as links to other materials, including the CEFA spreadsheets themselves. There's even a link to share feedback after today's live broadcast. For now, though, you'll want to click a button that appears in the upper left corner labeled Go to Seminar. Once you click that button, you will be asked to identify yourself by name, as well as the number of people at your location, and then you should be successfully checked in online and brought to our Adobe Connect environment. We will be using Adobe Connect to allow our presenters to provide a real-time presentation, as well as a real-time demonstration of the CEFA spreadsheets. I'll cover a few tips that might help improve your viewing experience, but we strongly encourage you to try to join us live through Adobe Connect for the full interactive experience. If you do have technical problems and you're unable to resolve them, you can simply download the slides and follow along manually via the telephone lines. By default, audio is available online for all participants. That means you should be able to hear the entire broadcast right through your computer with a pair of speakers or headphones. If you have problems with your online audio, I encourage you to check your local volume settings first. Sometimes you may need to go into your sound control panel and boost your speaker output. If that doesn't solve the problem, we do have toll-free call-in information, and I'll be more than happy to share that number with anyone who needs it. You can simply send in a question requesting the call-in number in the lower right corner using the Q&A window. Just know if you join us on the phone lines, you will be globally muted, and we ask that you remain on that global mute to minimize background noises and disruptions. As I mentioned, in the lower right corner of your screen, you should see a Q&A window that already has a welcome message from me, Jean Ballant, your session moderator. You can use that Q&A window to submit comments, questions, as well as to report technical problems at any time. Feel free to test it out if you like. You can click on the empty box at the bottom of the Q&A window, type up your message, let me know how the audio and visuals are working. And when you're done, either hit the Enter key on your keyboard or click the button that looks a bit like a cartoon call-out bubble. Either method will privately submit your question or comment in. We will take a break at designated points throughout today's live broadcast, at which point I'll start reading through comments and questions from the audience. But there's no need to wait for those breaks. You can submit your comments and questions at any time. Just a reminder, we are recording today's broadcast, and we will automatically share a link to replay the session for those who registered for today's session. It usually takes us about 1 to 2 weeks to produce that live or link recording. So if you have any problems accessing it, you can also feel free to go directly to our archives page where we'll be posting today's archive. And you can browse the nearly 600 currently archived sessions that we have available. Just a quick reminder, you will see a copy of the presentation and screen sharing content show up here on the left. There is a button that appears in the upper right corner of that window. It should look like four arrows pointing in opposite directions. Individual participants can click that four-arrowed button once to make the slide content larger. You can also click it a second time to shrink the slides back down. You can feel free to go in and out of that full screen mode at any point to help improve what you're looking at. You'll also find that there are additional buttons that will appear when we do the live demonstration of the spreadsheets that will allow you to zoom in even further on the content. And I'll remind you how to access those buttons again before we get to that live demonstration. But they'll all appear right here in the upper right corner. You'll see our CLUIN logo in the upper right, a collection of related URLs. That's where you'll find links to the feedback form, to download the CEFA spreadsheets, as well as to access the presentation materials. And then, of course, you can submit your comments and questions down below in the lower right by typing them in here and then either hitting the Enter key or pressing that button to the right to privately submit them in. I think that's the end of the technical reminders that I have for today's session. So I'm going to pull up our primary presentation content and turn things over to our two presenters. Again, we're going to be joined by Carlos Pachon, who's coming to you from the same office as I, the EPA's Technology Innovation and Field Services Division, as well as Karen German, who's joining us from EPA Region 9. Carlos and Karen, please feel free to begin.
Thank you, Jean. It's a pleasure to work with you. I tell you, you run such a well-oiled webinar system. Here, it's easy to take it for granted, but trust me, I don't. Thanks to your work, thousands of folks have access to quality training every year, and it's a really cost-effective way of doing it for all of us, both the participants and the agency. So thanks for your work. So welcome again to all your participants, and thank you for finding the time in your busy schedules to join us in this webinar on estimating environmental footprints using CEFA. I'm only making some introductory comments here and providing you with a few updates, and I'm yielding the bulk of the time to Karen Sherman. Karen is with our EPA Region 9 office, and she's worked really hard helping us develop the approaches to quantify environmental footprints and then codifying them in the methodology and the CEFA spreadsheets. So, Karen, before we start, let me thank you for all your contributions in this area. And if you could take me to slide 2, Karen, I'm going to work off of that one now. So a bit on the purpose of the webinar. Now, some of you may have joined us for our last webinar on the topic. It was in May of 2013. Now, that webinar was a little more of an introduction to CEFA, the Spreadsheets for Environmental Footprint Analysis, and how we here at EPA envision their application in the context of the methodology for understanding and reducing a project's environmental footprint. In other words, we have a methodology out there, and we realized we have developed some inside some spreadsheets in-house in the agency to apply the methodology. And basically, what we did is made these available to the public. So today, we're focusing on the use of the CEFA spreadsheets, including some of the updated functionality and navigation associated with these 2014 updates. Karen will walk you through the basic structure and functionality of the spreadsheets, but we are assuming that you have a certain level of knowledge of the methodology and green remediation concepts and principles. We could get the second box, Karen, please. Now, of course, one of the purposes of the spreadsheets and this webinar is to help us understand quantitative aspects of environmental footprint, of environmental footprints, and how this information can inform remedy operations and footprint reductions, particularly through the implementation of best management practices. Now, in the webinar registration process, we encourage you to download the spreadsheets and explore them to get the most value of what's being covered in this course, in this webinar. Now, if you have not had a chance to do that, we still suggest you participate in the webinar, but not attempt to multitask and download them at the same time. I think that will and not be as productive for you. Note, we've also reserved the block of time for open discussions, so we don't want you to miss the opportunity to have ask questions and engage with us and other participants in that discussion. If I could have a slide 3, Karen, please. So, as I mentioned, the bulk of the webinar will be handled by Karen Sherman of Region 9. Now, after these introductory remarks that I am making, Karen will get into the basics of CEFA, including, as I mentioned, some of the insights of the August 2014 updates to the spreadsheets. Now, remember, while she's speaking, you may ask questions. As Jean explained earlier, just type them into the Q&A box, and both Jean and I will be on the outlook for those questions, and we'll be addressing them during the Q&A period. Now, the second part of the webinar gets into a demonstration of some of the key features of CEFA. Now, CEFA offers great analytical flexibility that users can maximize as they learn all of the embedded features. And Karen will walk us through some of these using her own experience and her frustrations as a guide to doing this. We then have the second question and answer period, where again, we'll take questions you submit online. And of course, we'll also take questions over the phone using this this old school technology. Now, understanding CEFA inside out would require far more time than what we have on this webinar. So instead of attempting to cover it all, we've reserved in what we call an open forum, where Karen will take us to areas where you might have more interest in learning and understanding the application of CEFA. So feel free to ask either specific functionality or, you know, more open-ended questions, and we'll try to answer them. Well, Karen will, to be honest, using some of the functions and function of CIFA that were not specifically covered in the course. If I could go to slide 4, please. So this overview of Greener Cleanups, this is the only slide we have in the topic. As we mentioned, this is covered extensively in other webinars and online material. But I did want to reemphasize the linkage between CIFA and green remediation is very straightforward. The first bullet there, of course, is our definition of green remediation, the practice of considering all the environmental effects of remedy implementation and incorporating options to minimize the environmental footprints of cleanup actions. Now, this definition aligns with agency and federal policy on sustainability and the implementation of our programs. It also aligns with authorities, at least in my case, we have the Superfund program and CERCLA and the NCP. Now, the goal of a footprint analysis, which is what we're covering today and through CIFA, is to identify the most significant contributors to a project's environmental footprint and thereby better focus efforts to reduce them. Now, these footprint analyses can be particularly valuable when we have large, complex remedies. And there are several benefits to running these footprint analyses. Some examples may be a better understanding of a remedy's operations. We have found that conducting an environmental footprint analysis will ask questions of a remedy that you may not otherwise ask, either in design, value engineering and optimization, or other analyses of a system. Another is that a quantitative basis of a remedy's footprint helps better substantiate a business case for higher investment reduction options, be they reengineering, the application of BMPs, etc. So if we have to incur a cost to reduce a footprint, having a quantitative basis of that footprint will better help us justify the business case for making that investment. And finally, a baseline for estimating footprint reductions following the implementation of BMPs. In other words, once we do a footprint quantification of a remedy and we implement those BMPs, we'll have a basis for evaluating footprint reductions achieved. So if we could go to slide 5, please. The role of a footprint analysis. Now, undertaking an environmental footprint analysis is not an insignificant effort. And there are many projects where one might opt not to take it on. This first flowchart, just below the title, provides the basic thought process for making that decision. Though at its core, this is basically a subjective decision on the part of a project manager. So we start on the left here. We assume we have green remediation goals and cleanup project. It could be the client's request. It could be a contractual requirement. It could be a regulatory requirement. And it could be a policy goal, as here in the agency in our cleanup projects. Basically, we assume that driver is already there, and we're not going to go into that, what the origin of that driver may be. Now, following the line across the top, we find if we have a small cleanup project using a standard cleanup approach, a very relatively straightforward cleanup, we may go straight across to select and apply the specific best management practices to that remedy. So as you may know, and we have produced a series of fact sheets on green remediation best management practices for underground storage tank cleanups, for dig and haul projects, for bioremediation, for pump and treat, etc. So in a situation where we know most of the components and we feel pretty certain about the source of the footprint, we may go straight to applying those BMPs. However, if we follow the second line, we have a large complex project. We may decide to quantify the environmental footprint to better prioritize reduction targets and then select and apply the best management practices that can get us there. Now, this basic decision logic was also built into the ASTM standard guide for greener cleanups, which was released less than a year ago. Section 7 of the guide specifically refers to a footprint quantification process, leaving the door open for users to decide which of several options a user of the guide may select. Here at EPA, cleanup projects, our preference is for the methodology and the CIFA. In fact, we are training our project managers in the Superfund program, certainly to interpret seafood results. And we are collaborating with our partners, such as the U.S. Army Corps Engineers, and training a cadre of experts to apply seafood footprint analysis at projects where we have a lead. I did want to mention, with respect to the ASTM Red Guide, that we are preparing a webinar for state regulators and other federal regulators that will be held November 18th in Chicago, and will also be streamed online. If you are with a state regulatory agency or another federal regulatory agency, and you'd like to participate, please send me an email and I will get you the information to participate in that webinar. So that having been said, if we could go to the next slide and my last slide. I said that before we go deep into CIFA, I'd provide you with a reminder of where all the CIFA-related information is located and where it links out to other sections of CLUIN. The URL is at the top of your page, cluin.org/green remediation. I took two screenshots, one of the footprint part. As you can see, this got the we have the methodology there, as well as spreadsheets from our footprint analysis. That's where you would actually go to download the Excel spreadsheets. There are also links to past webinars, and as Gene mentioned, this webinar will be bundled and put online in the near future, so you could go back and listen to it again for clarification or a refresher. Note that there is also an RSS feed on CLUIN through which you can get all the updates that we post on green remediation. So if you go to the CLUIN webpage, click on the RSS feed link and select green remediation, you'll receive, we'll push out and all the updates to this part of CLUIN. Now on the other box screenshot I took is of the standard guide for green cleanups. I mentioned that earlier. Again, the webinar I mentioned earlier is not for public access, but if you are a state regulator or with EPA, do send me an email, and I'll get you the information to participate. So with that, I finally hand it off to Karen, and we get into the meat of the webinar. So thanks very much for your attention, and Karen, take us there. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. So we'll be talking first here about the basics of CIFA, and I look forward to presenting CIFA here and to discussions with the participants on this webinar about CIFA and footprint analysis. So beginning with the basics of CIFA, CIFA is a set of Excel workbooks developed by EPA. The workbooks are designed for conducting environmental footprint analyses at cleanup sites. And CIFA is compatible with EPA's footprint methodology that Carlos mentioned in the introduction. The worksheets are set up in blank slate template format, and they're structured for inputting data, running calculations, and organizing outputs. Now, as Carlos mentioned, CIFA was originally designed for internal EPA use, and we've placed the workbooks on the EPA webpage, the CLUIN webpage, for public access. And again, as Carlos mentioned, they were updated very recently in August of this year. So I want to touch on a few of the updates that we made to CIFA. We made a wide range of updates to improve the functionality and ease of use for the user and the flexibility of application. We simplified and consolidated data entry. This is one of the biggest things that we did. We increased flexibility for user-specific inputs. We added graphical outputs in chart format. And we expanded the notes and instructions for all key features. So there are expansive notes and instructions to help the new user and to also help the experienced user of CIFA. And we added a calculator for groundwater well construction. In addition, we also updated terminology and labels throughout CIFA for clarity and consistency. And I want to make acknowledgments to Doug Sutton for developing the original CIFA worksheets, and to Mike Paverini and Rob Greenwald for making the current updates. Their work has been extremely valuable to EPA, And at EPA, we were very happy with the original CIFA worksheets, and we're also very happy with the updated CIFA. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the old CIFA and have questions about how specific functions may have changed and may be different in the new CIFA, please feel free to ask during the Q&A portion of the webinar. But in my formal presentation, we will be focusing on the features of the updated CIFA worksheets only. We won't be looking back at the old CIFA in this presentation. So this is just a little bit of a reminder of how we might look at a cleanup site and go from a larger footprint to a smaller footprint when we try to make our cleanups greener. The steps you see there are perhaps typical steps. We would identify areas for reduction. We would then apply BMPs, or best management practices, to achieve our footprint reductions. If we decided to do a footprint analysis, this would be a good place to do it in most cases in order to help us identify our areas for reduction. And CIFA helps you out with this step of the process. It helps you run your footprint analysis. Now, we're going to look now at CIFA in the context of EPA's footprint methodology. And if you're familiar with the footprint methodology, you'll probably recognize these seven steps. These are the seven steps that are recommended in the methodology. And CIFA helps you with the middle three steps, steps 3, 4, and 5. Those are the steps where we quantify the metrics of materials and waste, of water, and energy and air emissions. CIFA does not help you with steps 1 and 2. That's where you set the goals and scope of the analysis and gather remedy information. The project manager should establish the goals and scope of the footprint analysis in advance of running CIFA to ensure that the questions of interest at the site and remedy are addressed when you set up the CIFA worksheets. And again, this is an important step because the design of the footprint analysis will depend on the goals and the scope, and it will dictate how you set up the CIFA worksheets. CIFA also does not help with step six, which is qualitatively describing the affected ecosystem services. And for step 7, although CIFA, of course, provides numeric results, it will be up to the project manager to present the results and to interpret the results. So let's look a little bit closer at the structure of the CIFA workbooks. We have in CIFA 3 Excel workbooks, the main workbook, input, and calculations workbook. The user sets up the analytic structure in the workbooks. The user enters information about the remedy, and then the workbooks exchange data and process the results. You will typically start in the main workbook and enter basic site and remedy information. And then you'll move to the input workbook where you'll set up the analytic structure of the footprint analysis and then enter data for the remedy activities. The input workbook then compiles the intermediate results and sends those to the calculations workbook. In the calculations workbook, there is no data entry required by the user. This workbook makes the footprint calculations, and then the grand total and the summary of the results is compiled in the main workbook. So we're going to take a look at some screenshots from CIFA now, and these screenshots will give you a general idea of how the data is entered in CIFA. The specifics of data entry will be demonstrated in the next section of the webinar when I open up the Excel workbooks and do the live demonstration in the workbooks, and that's where I'll be showing some of the more specific features in CIFA. So for now, we're going to be looking at screenshots, and this is a screenshot in the main workbook of the summary of the general tab, and this is where the user enters basic information about the footprint analysis, such as the site name and the remedy name. And the user may identify up to 6 remedy components. And these are the remedy components that are set up in this example to reflect the stages of this hypothetical remedy. There's also space at the bottom of the worksheet for adding a narrative description of the site and the remedy. Now, the way in which you set up the remedy components will depend on the goals and the scope of the footprint analysis. The remedy components can be set up to differentiate among a variety of aspects of the remedy, and it depends on what your goal and scope are. As an example, what we have here is a site where we want to differentiate among the different stages of the remedy: site investigation, excavation, soil sent off site, backfill, and long-term monitoring. But at another site, we may want to differentiate among alternative remedy designs. So this is a hypothetical example where we have a pump and treat system, and components 1 through 4 are all representing the same pump and treat system, the same basic system, with various different add-ons to test how the footprint would look with for example, with UV treatment, with a solar panel for providing the energy, or perhaps reinjecting the groundwater instead of sending it to a POTW. So this is another way that you might want to set up your footprint analysis, depending on what your questions are that you're trying to answer for the site. As another example, you might set up your footprint analysis distinguishing among specific remedy activities, such as hazardous waste transport, municipal solid waste transport, and so on, as you see in components 1 through 6 in this example. And as a final example, you might want to distinguish among separate years in the remedy for this hypothetical example of a bioremediation site, with each of the 4 years of active remediation being different. So we want to do year 1, year 2, year 3, and year 4, and then your closeout year 5. So the message is, the bottom line is that the user should establish the goals and scope of the footprint analysis in advance, and then CIFA allows the flexibility to set up the analysis and the remedy components in the analysis to reflect the questions that you have at your site. So now we're taking a look at a screenshot from the input workbook. And this is the input template tab. And this is the tab where the majority of the data entry occurs in CIFA. This is the same tab with some example data entered. And what I'd like to demonstrate here is that the user makes copies of the input template tab and sets up data entry tabs using copies of the input template tab for each activity in the footprint analysis. And so you make a copy of the input template tab, and you name the new tab to reflect the activity. In this example, we've made copies of the input template tab for site investigation, excavation, soil sent off-site, backfilling, and groundwater monitoring. CIFA can accommodate up to 14 data entry tabs to be included in the footprint analysis. And I'd also like to mention that, of course, in each of these tabs, the basic input template is the exact same template. It's just different data that's entered into the template. So I just want to show this schematic to show how conceptually, what the conceptual approach is to setting up the CIFA worksheets. We've already heard about the remedy components, and now we've heard about the input template tab and the data entry tabs that we make from it. But how do they relate? Well, this illustrates the conceptual approach to organizing the remedy components and the data entry tabs. CIFA begins with default names for the remedy components and a single blank slate input template tab, as shown in the highlighted green boxes. And the user will then use as many of the six remedy components as you need for your site. In this case, we have four different remedy components, and we are not using two of the available remedy components. And in this example, we have set up nine copies of the input template tab and set up nine different activities within the remedy. Now, each of these activities in the input tab, the tabs, is linked with one of the remedy components, shown here by the links between the two. This allows flexibility for the user to subdivide the remedy components if that is useful for the goals of the footprint analysis. And in the live portion of the seminar, when we're in the Excel worksheets, I'll demonstrate how to make these links. So we're looking again now at the input workbook and the input template tab. And this is to demonstrate what the different tables that are on the input template tab and what the data entry is that you could do in these tables. I'll first mention that there is color coding in the input template tab, and pink represents drop-down menus for the user to select data entry. Blue indicates that data is being drawn from lookup tables or being calculated within that cell, and yellow indicates data entry by the user. Now, the pink and yellow tabs provide user flexibility in data entry. This is the same screenshot, and we're looking at page one of the input template tab. And again, I'll show what the various tables and areas are, the functions of the various areas of this tab. This area is where you link the data entry tab to the remedy component that it's associated with. This area is for personnel transportation, data entry on that for that information. Here is data entry for on-site equipment use and transport, on-site electricity usage, and natural gas and landfill gas combustion. Now, this may look like a lot of blank cells to fill in, but just keep in mind that we use only the cells that are relevant to the site, and we enter as much or as little detail as is needed for the questions that we have at our site. And of course, as a reminder, the user should note any assumptions that are made during the footprint analysis and any items that are screened out. We're now looking at page two of the input template tab. And here we do data entry for materials, use and transport, waste disposal and transport, and water use. So the question may arise, where do we get inputs to do the footprint analysis? It's all hands-on data entry by the user. Well, we need to do our own background research and data gathering before we even open up the CEFA workbooks. And we might get that information from a feasibility study at the site, cost estimates, engineering designs, or from literature searches or professional judgment. The user should provide references and supporting calculations for all of the information that's entered into CEFA. We're now looking at page three of the input template tab. And here we have tables for data entry for other energy use and air emissions, other voluntary renewable energy use, and offsite laboratory analysis. And there's also space at the bottom for notes, references, and supporting calculations. Now, these data entry tabs, the input template tab, makes certain calculations, such as fuel usage, within the worksheet itself. And it sends all of your data entry and the results of those certain calculations, sends those results to the input summary tab, where the results are compiled. We're going to take a look at the input summary tab. We're still in the input workbook here. This is a screenshot of the input summary tab. And This tab, again, compiles the inputs and results from the data entry tabs. And of course, this compilation happens automatically. Once the user enters the names of the data entry tabs on the top of the headings of the columns here. As you can see, the names of the tabs that you saw in the earlier screenshot are represented here in the headings. This is how you indicate to the input summary tab that you want it to compile the results of the tabs that you've entered the data for. After you've done that, the input summary tab will automatically compile the information from the data entry tabs. And the subtotals are compiled for each data entry tab and also for the remedy component the subtotals for the remedy components, which are not shown here in this screenshot. So there are three pages of compiled results in the input summary tab. And those results are then sent to the calculations workbook. Oh, and as a reminder, up to 14 data entry tabs can be accommodated on the input summary tab. This screenshot shows that we're using only 5 of those, but we can have a total of 14. So we're now looking at a screenshot from the calculations workbook. This is where the results from the input summary tab are populated. And this is where the footprint calculations are made. So again, the calculations workbook receives results from the input workbook. Those results are for materials, energy, water, waste, and offsite support activities that you've entered into the other worksheets. And that information is populated here in this column. And then these worksheets apply the footprint conversion factors. And these calculations, of course, happen automatically for energy usage, greenhouse gas emissions, and air emissions for NOx, SOx, PM, and HAPS. There is a calculation tab like this for each remedy component and for all remedy components combined. And I'll mention that the footprint conversion factors in this table are based on information from public sources, and references are provided within the CIFO workbook for where we get our footprint conversion factors. There are 7 pages of footprint calculations. And to reiterate, there is no data entry required by the user in the calculations workbook and in this worksheet, but the user may access the intermediate results from these worksheets. And those intermediate results can be very useful for understanding the nuances of your footprint from your site. Now, these results are sent back to the main workbook. And we're now looking at a screenshot in the main workbook of the summary tab where the results of the footprint analysis are presented and summarized. This table compiles the results in a format that's recommended in EPA's footprint methodology. We have materials, waste, water, energy, and air emissions. And we also have in CIFA some new graphic charts that are available to the user. These charts are populated and generated automatically from the CIFA from the results of the worksheets. And this is an example of a chart in the main workbook. Again, this chart is generated automatically in CIFA. And this type of chart is useful for identifying which remedy components have the largest footprints. And so in this example, we can see that the excavation part component of the remedy has the largest energy footprint. And we also have this color-coded so that you can see the difference for each remedy component between on-site contributions, grid electricity contributions, transportation, and other off-site activities. So the color-coding shows you how much those aspects of the remedy contribute to the energy footprint. CIFA generates basic charts for energy, basic charts just like this for energy use, as we see here, greenhouse gas emissions, and NOx, SOx, PM, and HAPS air emissions. Now, this is an example of a chart that the user can make with relative ease from the intermediate results in the calculations workbook from that one screenshot we saw with the footprint conversion factors. The user can access those intermediate results in CIFA quite easily, and if you do that and make a chart like this, it can help you understand the contributors to the remedy footprint, and that helps you to target areas for footprint reduction. So these kinds of charts I find are very valuable in helping to better understand the footprint at your site. In this hypothetical case, we can see that greenhouse gas emissions from transportation diesel use is by far the largest contributor to the greenhouse gas emissions. And so if we wanted to reduce our footprint at this site, we would probably pay most attention to reducing the transportation diesel footprint in order to get our biggest reductions. And again, as a reminder, this chart is not provided automatically by the CIFA workbooks, but it can be generated fairly easily by the user using the intermediate results. So beginning to wrap up here on the basics of CIFA, this is just to point out that in a lot of times in doing footprint analyses, we like to test alternative scenarios to get a better idea of how to reduce our footprint. So for questions like this, what if I use reclaimed water instead of public water for dust control? What if I use biodiesel instead of conventional diesel? And similar questions. This is just to point out that CIFA can be used fairly easily to compare footprints for alternative scenarios that you may want to test for your remedy to see if you can judge the best ways to reduce your footprint. So wrapping up, this is the same slide that we had earlier talking about the basics of CIFA. And I'll just reiterate here that CIFA can be set up to reflect any remedy design. It automatically applies footprint conversion factors, and it compiles results consistent with EPA's footprint methodology. So now, Carlos, I'll hand it back to you to run the Q&A session on the basics of CIFA.
Great. Thanks, Karen. Appreciate that. So again, folks on the Internet, remember to enter your questions in the Q&A box, and we'll be taking those over the line. Let me first ask if anybody is on the phone. Jean, do you know we have folks on the phone lines?
We do have people on the telephone lines, but it's not a very large audience. So considering that it's small, I'll just make the offer that if you are on the telephone lines and you would prefer to ask the questions out loud, you could technically come off of mute by hitting #6 and ask your question directly.
Okay, well, this is me again. So while feel free to do that at any point. While you're formulating your question, or trying to overcome shyness, I'll go ahead. There are a couple of things I wanted to ask you, Karen, about what you've covered so far, and it might have been embedded in there, but I think it's important to highlight. And I guess two questions about tracking inputs. One is, how exhaustive do you think one needs to be with respect to tracking down the inputs for a remedy? And related to that, how accurate should one be in quantifying those inputs for a remedy when building the worksheets?
Yeah, thanks, Carlos. That's a good question, a good point. And I'm going to kind of page back to one of our screenshots here where I mentioned that we can enter as much or as little data as we need to address the goals and scope of our footprint analysis. And it really depends on what you're looking at. We had a site in one situation where really our main question was, what is the footprint from transporting the hazardous waste off-site? So we actually didn't pay any attention to anything else at the site. We just focused in on that question, and we tried to get accurate about the distance traveled, the likely alternative sites where the waste might be hauled to, and the trucking situation and so forth. So we went into a fair amount of detail there, but we did not worry ourselves about any other aspect of the remedy. And so, again, this gets back to the goals and scope of the footprint analysis. If you have those very solid in your mind to begin with, that basically dictates how accurate you feel like you need to be and how exhaustive you need to be in gathering your data. If you are looking at some very refined questions about a pump and treat system where it really does matter what kinds of pumps you use and it really does matter how efficient that air stripper is and so forth, then yes, you may want to do literature searches. You may want to look very closely into that data and scope out the inputs very closely, because those differences will matter in your inputs, and you will want to make sure you have them as accurate as possible.
Great. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I remember there was a part of the methodology which provided some basic rules for screening inputs, and I think it'd be good for somebody to keep those in mind early on, or at least maybe go through that and have a robust, you know, rules of thumb of what is my criteria going to be for how many data points I need to track down. Now, a question, so there are a new series of spreadsheets. What if I have the old ones? Should I continue using those, or should I migrate to the new, to the updated spreadsheets? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I think definitely if you're starting a new footprint analysis, definitely use the new CIFA worksheets. There are some very important improvements for ease of data entry. It will be much easier for you to enter data into the new CIFA worksheets as compared with the previous CIFA worksheets. So that's one of the main improvements that we made. If you have a site that you've already started on and are using the old CIFA worksheets, then I think it's just a matter of your own resources to judge whether it's worth your time to transfer that information into the new worksheets. I would recommend the user to poke around into the new worksheets and see how they look, and then if you're familiar with the old worksheets, you will be able to see where the differences lie, and also our instructions and notes show where the differences lie, and you can then perhaps make your judgment on whether you want to spend the time to transfer that information over.
Right, perfect, thank you. So we also have a question from the audience here, from Lisa Strutz. And she asked if she's asking if this application can be used at non-cleanup scenarios. And that's a really good question. I appreciate that question. In fact, before we went down the track of developing the methodology for evaluating environmental footprints, we looked across different construction sectors. Different sectors, including the construction sector, to see if such a tool existed that we could just borrow and use. And we didn't find one, and that's why we went ahead and developed the methodology. But that's a really good question. In fact, we asked ourselves, we assumed that that was the case, but we did not find something that we could borrow and use. And when you think about it, remediation projects are often basically just a type of construction subsector of the construction business. So certainly there's the CIFA spreadsheets, if you ask me, they can be applied at a non-remediation project, absolutely. I don't know if you have any thoughts there, Karen.
Yes, I think you're right, Carlos. I think that there are a lot of similarities between a cleanup site and a construction site, if that's what the question is getting at when asking about other uses for CIFA. I think that it's open-ended enough and flexible enough with these various different aspects of the footprint analysis that these can be translated probably to various different other kinds of construction sites. And I will mention that one area that might be a tad lacking is that in the footprint conversion factors for CIFA, we have uploaded materials and activities that are would be unique, well, let's not say unique, but common at cleanup sites. And so if you have a different kind of activity, different kind of construction or project going on that's not a cleanup, you may be encountering materials and activities that are not usually found at cleanup sites, in which case you would not have that information already uploaded as a part of CIFA. But as one of my demonstration examples in the next section, or the last section will show, you can fairly easily upload your own information, your own footprint conversion factors for any materials and activities that are not already found in CIFA.
Right, I would agree. And so we have another question here from an internet participant, Melissa, and excuse if I butcher the name, but I'm going to try it anyway, Harkler Road. Melissa, thanks for the question. You're asking, can you speak to the cost savings downstream for performing an environmental footprint analysis, which takes additional effort during project planning and design? Now, I'll take a first cut at that question. Melissa, I mentioned a little bit earlier some of the advantages, at least that we have seen in conducting a footprint. One of them was a better understanding of remedies operations. So we found that conducting a footprint analysis, we ask a series of remedies and remedy operations that would not otherwise be asked in either design, value engineering, or optimization analyses. And often, a better understanding of hidden inefficiencies that we identify through a footprint analysis results in cost savings. So that's one example of how conducting this footprint analysis can result in cost savings during the design operation of a remedy. In addition, of course, to the main point we made earlier that it helps us, if our goal is to reduce a remedy's environmental footprint, conducting a footprint analysis can help us better target the investments we make in footprint reduction. But again, Karen, I'll leave it to you. If there's something you want to add, the question again is, can you speak to the cost savings downstream for performing an environmental footprint analysis, which will take an additional level of effort during project planning design?
Yes. In addition to the points that you made, Carlos, I mean, I would just say that, of course, it's going to be very site-specific. So there may be a site where you can gain large cost savings by greening your footprint or greening your cleanup, and then others where it may actually be an added cost to put in greener cleanup sort of aspects to your site, such as solar panels and so forth. Of course, solar panels would pay themselves off in the long run, but that would be a larger upfront cost. So I would say it's hard to predict. It would be site specific. I will say that if in the context of the larger site remedy development work and so forth, all of the major sort of documentation and investigation and evaluation that goes on in designing a remedy, there's a lot of work that goes on in developing those reports and approaches like the feasibility study and the engineering designs and so forth. If you see running a footprint analysis in the context of that, at most sites, that running of the footprint analysis will be a fairly minor aspect of the whole overall effort of developing a remedy and putting it into place.
Excellent. Thanks, Karen. So with that, I suggest we've got a couple more questions here, but I think they might work well following the next section that you're going to cover. So if it's good with you, Karen, we'll move on to the key features of CIFA. And following that, we'll have another chance for some questions. So I encourage those of you on the participating to put those questions in as they come up to you. Some questions you may have may not necessarily relate directly to one of the slides or the specific points that Karen is making, but feel free to enter it at any time, and we'll bring it up in the discussion session. So with that, I'm going to hand it back to Karen for the next part. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Carlos. So we are now going to do the part of the webinar where I'll be demonstrating key features in CIFA. And this will be where I open up the CIFA workbooks and do the live demonstration. Now, I'll start doing this slide just shows kind of the approach that I'll be using during the live demonstration. I'll start with a brief walkthrough of the workbooks in which I'll highlight some features and aspects that don't show up in the screenshots. And I won't be visiting all of the tabs in all three workbooks, but just a few of the tabs here and there. And then I'll demonstrate one of those three key features. In this central part of the webinar, I'm going to be focusing on the adding of a new activity to the remedy. And then if time allows during the last segment of the webinar, during the open forum and the Q&A there, and if interest dictates, I'll demonstrate the remaining two items that you see in this slide, providing the fuel mix for grid electricity and adding a new remedy material with unique footprint conversion factors. Now, I'll just mention that there are numerous features in CIFA that are very useful to the footprint analysis and to the user, and of course, we don't have time to visit them all. However, the instructions and notes in CIFA addresses all of the available features in CIFA. So just a quick note on the example site that I'm going to be using to demonstrate the key features in CIFA. It's a hypothetical site. It's a simple dig and haul remedy, and it has six remedy components that are listed here. Now, these remedy components are already uploaded into the CIFA worksheets, and in the demonstration, I will be adding a new activity. It's going to be regrading at the site, and I'll show how to add a new activity and link it to the remedy components. So, Jean, this is where you would we need to transfer over to the desktop for the live interaction.
Okay, in just a few moments, we're going to go ahead and actually be able to look at Karen's screen in real time as she actually opens up the Excel spreadsheets. And Karen, you can go ahead and choose to share your desktop with us. Just a quick note, for those of you that may need to, just a reminder, there are a few buttons that appear in the upper corner of the window that's now showing Karen's desktop. The four-arrowed button pointing in opposite directions will expand the window that's sharing content. You can certainly click that to make that window larger. Just to the left of that button, there are two other boxes or buttons you'll see. The right box will actually zoom in even further on Karen's screen and allow you to focus exactly where her mouse cursor is. And then the button to the left will kind of scale out and fit her entire content into one window. You can feel free to zoom in, expand the windows, and scale and slide around however you need to improve the viewing content. If you have any difficulty viewing the materials, use the Q&A window to let us know in the lower right corner. Karen, whenever you're ready to begin, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Jean. So as Jean said, you should be able to see my desktop, which shows three Excel workbooks, and I have them arranged in cascade style here. You will see up front is the main workbook. The next one in the cascade is the input workbook, and the final one is the calculations workbook. As noted earlier, we need to have all three workbooks open at a time for them to exchange data. The first thing I want to do is visit the instructions and notes tabs. These are color-coded in green, and as you can see here, In the main workbook, we have a couple of tabs that are introductions and instructions. These are general instructions. In the input workbook, we have another couple of green tabs for instructions specific to the input workbook, and then some very detailed notes and explanations that help you through each of the tables in the input workbook. That is the input template tab of the input workbook. Again, and then in the calculations workbook, we also have a notes tab, and there's an explanation here for grid electricity. So again, I think we have quite a few tabs in the workbooks that will assist the user in with basic information about CIFA and explanations and specific detailed instructions. The other color coding that we have here is yellow tabs. You see this general tab is color-coded yellow. When I click on it, the yellow goes away, but this is the general tab. Yellow tabs indicate that this is where we have primary user data entry. You can see that I'm now in the input workbook. We have a number of yellow colored tabs. The main one, of course, is the input template tab. And in this case, for the demonstration, I've made my copies of the input template tab and named them with new IDs. So these are all data entry tabs. And I'll show that there are a couple of more data entry tabs, which we'll get to when we get to the more advanced features, if there's interest in the latter part of the webinar. And I'll also mention here is our well materials calculator tab. So yellow is for data entry, and there's no yellow, there's no data entry or yellow tabs in the calculations workbook. The other color coding is blue, and that is for outputs from CIFA. So any tab that's color coded in blue will provide either final outputs or intermediate outputs. And the key ones that I want to mention are the summary tab, which we saw a screenshot of, and this tab called Totals by Scope and Component. These are our graphical representations that are automatically populated in CIFA. These other tabs give intermediate data that, again, can be very useful to understanding the nuances of your remedy and your footprint. And as long as we're in the intermediate data output tab, I'll just mention that, of course, as you might expect, all of the calculations cells within the CIFA workbook are locked so that they can't be modified. So you can't get into that cell and modify it, but you can, again, download the information and use it for your graphical or other analysis for your site. So you can access the intermediate data, you just can't adjust the calculations and the formulas. So I'm going to introduce the demonstration site, and we saw in the PowerPoint where we had our hypothetical site, and so these sheets have been set up, the footprint analysis and the data entry already done for the majority of that site. And so just to recap, what you would do as a user is you would set up the site name and the remedy name in the general tab. We're in the general tab of the main workbook. And you'll notice that the remedy components have already been set up for this demonstration. I would like to mention that when the user downloads for the first time from the CLUIN web page, these remedy components, of course, are blank. That is, they actually have default names in them. So the user types in the remedy components names as they begin their print analysis. The same is true, again, to reiterate, in the input workbook. We're now in the input workbook. all you would see when you first download CIFA from the Kluwen website is the input summary tab, the input template tab, and then some of these yellow tabs at the end. But all of these yellow tabs in the middle you will not see when you first download CIFA from the Kluwen website, because these are tabs that you as a user would make from the blank slate CIFA worksheets, and you would make those tabs by making copies of the input template tab. All right, so with that introduction, I am going to go ahead and do the demonstration activity, which is to add a new activity to the remedy. The scenario is that we now realize that regrading at the site will be required after we backfill. So we have our backfill remedy component, and we want to add regrading activities to that component. And what I want to do is start by looking at the summary sheet, just so that we can kind of get our bearings. And you'll notice that here is where we have the subtotals for the backfill component of the remedy. And just as kind of a check, we're going to look at the total greenhouse gas emissions for the backfilling activities. And you can see there that the estimated footprint from backfilling for greenhouse gas emissions is 77 tons CO2 equivalents. So we're going to keep that in mind, jot it down, and we're going to see how it changes when we add the regrading activities. So the first step that we're going to do is go to the input workbook. Again, we're in the input workbook here. And we are going to make a copy of our input template tab. As you remember, this is a blank slate tab. There's no data entry in it right now. And we're going to make a copy of that tab. We're going to place it right after the backfill activity that's already there. Whoops. As you can see, here's our new input tab. We're going to name it Regrade. So that's how we start a new activity in the CIFA worksheets. Now, we want to link this to component 4, as you remember. We want to link it to the backfilling remedy component. And to do that, we go to this drop-down menu at the top of the worksheet, and we select component 4. And that gives us our backfill remedy component. So in that way, we've linked the regrading activities to the backfill remedy component. And as you can see here, we have space for narrative remarks, and I'm just going to type in some remarks here. Of course, you can add as much as you need to give a narrative description of what's going on in this particular worksheet for regrading. And you'll also notice that there's ample space over here for listing items that may have been eliminated through the screening process that Carlos mentioned earlier, and also space for other notes and references. Well, we're going to start our data entry by entering information about personnel transportation for the crews that will be at the site. And as you will notice as I do this data entry, I'm keeping it very, very simple. So we're going to say here that we have a regrading crew. And then what we do, if we're interested in modeling the transportation of our crew, is we enter the number of round trips to the site and the distance to the site. And as you can see right here, the calculation appears of the total transport distance for that crew. The pink in CIFA indicates drop-down menus. And here you can see we have a selection of transportation modes, and we're going to choose light-duty truck. And in this drop-down menu, we have a selection of various fuels, and we're going to choose diesel. And as you see, once we do that, we have a default fuel usage rate that's obtained from a lookup table, and CIFA calculates the amount of fuel used, and this is in gallons. We have a fuel usage rate override, so we can say, yeah, but we know that our light-duty truck gets better mileage than that, so we can override it, and then it calculates the new mileage. I'll also show that we have a space here for notes regarding that particular item. I'll also point out that there's ample room for more crews if we have lots of different crews coming to the site. And there's also here in these two rows space available for site-specific transportation that may not be characterized by this drop-down menu. So that describes how we would do data entry for personal transportation. Let's take a look at data entry for on-site equipment use and transportation. Again, keeping it very simple, we're going to take a look at this drop-down menu for equipment type, and you'll see that there is a wide variety of equipment types that are available for selection. And at our site, we are going to model a grader. We enter information of horsepower and the load factor for that equipment, and then we choose the fuel type. When we do that, a lookup table, in addition to calculations, give us the estimated fuel usage rate for that piece of equipment. We enter the amount of hours it's going to be operated, and that calculates our fuel usage on site. Now, we may want to model mobilization of that piece of equipment to the site, and if so, we do that in the remainder of this table. Let's say it's going to be mobilized once, so that's one round trip to the site, and is a 50-mile round trip, and the fuel type for that mobilization is diesel. And that calculates out our fuel usage for mobilization. As you can see, we also have an override for fuel usage rate if we like, and space for notes. Again, as you can see, there's ample space for different sorts of equipment at our site, and there's also in these two rows space available for site-specific parameters if there's a piece of equipment that's not already in our drop-down menu. So again, that's a very simple example of how we would do data entry for equipment use on site. We're now going to look at electricity use on site. And for purposes of demonstration, we're going to just say that we have a dewatering pump that's in use during our regrading. We would enter that here. And then we would enter information about that pump, like horsepower, and then information about its load factor and efficiency. With that information, CIFA will calculate its estimated electrical rating. And then we enter the hours used. And that gives us our kilowatt hour demand for that pump during our regrading activities. Now, there is the option even in protected cells for the user to reformat. For certain formatting functions are available to the user. And in this case, just as an example, we can reformat those calculations so that they're easier to read by reducing all the decimals. In this table, we also have available several rows of data entry if you have equipment for which you know the electrical rating at the outset and the hours used, in which case you would enter information in these cells. And also for equipment or aspects of the remedy where what you know is the kilowatt hours itself. So for example, if you know from your electrical bill that what your kilowatt hour usage is for the year or for the month, you can just go ahead and enter that directly in these rows. And I'll give an example of that. Let's just say we have portable office space at the site for which we know the electrical rating and the hours that are going to be, it's going to be in use. CIFA will, of course, calculate the kilowatt hours. And, of course, this is the subtotal. This totals all items above here. And this is our grand total. And what we have in between is renewable electricity generated on site. So in order to demonstrate how this works, I'm going to say that we have solar panels on top of the office, the portable office space, giving us 50 kilowatt hours. So the way this works is here is our subtotal, and this would be our demand for grid electricity, except that we are providing 50 kilowatt hours of that demand through our solar panels, and in which case we then have our resulting grid electricity that we're actually going to model in our footprint analysis, which is less than the subtotal. So this is our grand total that will be modeled as grid electricity from the grid. So that demonstrates how we enter information about on-site electricity usage. We have three more tables to do data entry in, and this is the materials use and transportation table. And as an example, we're going to say that during regrading, we realize that we need sand to backfill. As you can see in this drop-down menu, we have a number of remedy, a number of materials that we may typically find at cleanup sites. And as I was mentioning before, we've uploaded a number of materials that we feel are commonly encountered. And these have footprint conversion factors already uploaded into CIFA in a default format. The user can also add your own footprint, your own materials with your own footprint conversion factors. And in this case, I've actually added some here, but in items number, what would have been number 1, 2, and 3 have been used up. And as you can see, we have the ability for the user to add their own user-defined material all the way through to material number 20. Again, how to add those user-defined materials is explained in detail in the instructions in CIFA, in the CIFA worksheets. And if we have time at the end of this, the last section of this webinar, I can demonstrate that as well. For now, we have sand that we are using at our site, and so I'm going to choose as a default the gravel, sand, clay selection from the drop-down menu. I enter the quantity, which is 150 tons. And then there are three columns that help me to characterize that material and characterize how it's going to be handled in CIFA. Is the material refined or unrefined? Now, sand we'll consider an unrefined material. And for information about what the distinction that we're making between refined and unrefined, I recommend that you refer to EPA's footprint methodology, which gives a description of what we mean by refined and unrefined. Basically, refined is material that has been through a manufacturing process of some sort, and unrefined is a material that hasn't. The next question that we need to answer is, what is the source? Is it virgin material, recycled, or reused? And in this case, we're just going to say that the sand is from a virgin source. Now, the next question is, well, do we actually want to calculate the footprint of that material? And since that's what we're all about here, that may seem like an odd question. I'm going to choose yes here. Where you might choose no is if you had decided or you are aware that your sand is coming, let's say, from a reused source. In that case, you would probably choose no here. You do not want to calculate the footprint of that sand because the footprint of extraction for that sand is not being attributed to your site. It's already been done, and you're simply reusing it. So for our situation, we're saying yes for the footprint analysis. So that is how we enter information on what we're using, and then the question is, how do we get that material to the site? So we are going to say that that sand is coming from 20 miles away, and that it's going to take 150 trips to get it to the site, assuming that our mode of transportation is truck. And we're going to say we're using diesel for our transport. I'll mention that there's space for notes and descriptions. And as you can see, there's ample space for lots of different materials that you may have at your site. As another point, depending on what the configuration is at your site and what your transport situation is, you may want to add a return trip empty for that truck. And in this case, let's just say that's what we have. We have those trucks coming, going back to the source of the sand empty to reload. And in that case, one of the ways that is probably the easiest to add the return trip is simply mint the original trip like this, and perhaps add in the notes here, return trip, empty. Let's also say that we know that we have better mileage coming back empty. We can override the mileage. There are a number of different ways you can do a return trip, but if that's perhaps the most straightforward way. So that demonstrates how to add a material to the CEFA worksheets. Let's look quickly at waste and water. So starting with waste, we'll say that we have encountered some concrete while we're doing our regrading, and we're going to send it off-site for reuse. As you can see, there's a number of different options for what the disposition of waste might be. And I'll also take this opportunity to point out that there are a variety of options for the user to put in their own site-specific waste destinations. In this case, you can see I've set it up by entering an off-site hazardous waste incinerator that's used in a different one of the different data entry tabs. But you have this opportunity to add an additional waste activity or waste destination. In this case, we have concrete, and we're going to send it off-site for reuse. So I select the recycled reused off-site selection from the drop-down menu. And we'll say that the quantity is 50 tons, that it's being sent 30 miles away for reuse, and that it's going to be 3 trips. Again, we select our mode of transportation, our fuel type, and there's space for notes if we like. There's plenty of space for additional waste types, and that takes care of the waste transportation and disposal data entry. The last data entry that I'll be demonstrating is water use. So we're going to say that we're using water to For dust suppression at the site, so for dust control. And these are the selections that we have for our water usage, and we're going to choose public water. We're just getting the water from our municipal utility district, and we're going to say we have 4 million gallons. As you notice, the units are gallons by 1,000, so this indicates 4 million gallons. And I'm not going to do the typing of the data entry here, but there's space for various notes on various aspects of the water usage. And these columns, this data entry here, is not summarized in any final summary table in CIFA. This data entry here is just narrative data or information that you may enter for your own use. So for example, in this regarding the source, I may say type in municipal utility district here as the source. For quality of water used, I may type in potable. For the water use, I would put in dust suppression. And for the fate of the water is either evapotranspiration if there are plants, or just evaporation or infiltration into the soil. Again, in those columns, that narrative data entry, that information is not forwarded anywhere else in CIFA. However, this information is. It's forwarded into the final totals of CIFA. Now, so we finished our data entry for our simple example on regrading after backfilling. And I'm going to visit the input template tab, the input summary tab. And you might remember a screenshot similar to this from the PowerPoint portion of the webinar, where we had our remedy activities in the headings for the columns here. And you'll notice that there's no remedy component or activity called regrade. And that's because the next and final step that I do when adding a new activity is I add the name of that activity here. Specifically, I add the exact same name as the name that I gave the tab for that activity. And once I add that name here, you'll see that column G fills in with data collected from the regrade tab. So you want to, if you want what you entered in that tab to be included in the footprint analysis, you add that name into the column here, one of the unused columns, to make sure that that data is gathered into the input summary tab. You'll also notice that row four here indicates the remedy component that this tab and this activity is associated with. And as you remember, in the original data entry in the REG tab, we selected remedy component four. So this just reminds us that, oh yes, backfill and regrade are both part of remedy component four. So that's what this row here reminds us. And that's automatically input based on what we said at the top of the input tab for the regrade activity. Now, in terms of why the user needs to type in the name of the input tab and the activity tab here, we designed CIFA intentionally that way in order to provide the user flexibility for turning on and off various different activities within the footprint analysis as needed for the questions that are being answered at the site. The other thing I want to point out is that, as you may remember, there's the option of linking 14 different activities or 14 different data input tabs in your footprint analysis. As you can see here, we're only using, it's actually 7 of them, and we're not using the rest. And this is just to illustrate that we can hide those columns if we want to make our table look a little more tidy, since we're not using them. I also want to point out that the remedy components are subtotaled here. These are remedy components 1 through 6, and these are the subtotals. And just to demonstrate, this is our remedy component 4 that we just added to, and that is summing the totals, or the values, for backfill and regrade together. Those are being summed together, and that's what's ending up here in remedy component 4. So we have our subtotals for remedy components, and then, of course, we have our grand total. So that's what's going on in our input summary tab. The last thing I'm going to do, now that we've finished our data entry, is we're going to go back to the summary tab. And as you remember, at the very beginning, we were looking at what our estimated footprint for greenhouse gas emissions was. And I jotted down 77 tons of CO2 equivalents. And as you can see now, we're in the backfill component, and our footprint has increased to 111 tons of CO2 emissions. So that just tells us that, yes, the regrading and backfilling are now combined here in this remedy component. And as a finishing touch, just because labels are important sometimes, I'm going to go ahead and rename component 4 so that it more accurately reflects what's actually going on now in that component. And you'll see that now that new name automatically gets updated in this table, the summary table, and it also gets automatically updated in everywhere else in the worksheets, including here in our regrade tab. We now see that component 4 is backfilling and regrading together. Now, so this wraps up the live demonstration of the CEFA worksheets. I just want to mention that this has been a very simple site and remedy, of course, for purposes of the demonstration. For a real site, you can enter as much or as little detail as may be appropriate. CEFA provides the format for data entry, as you've seen. It automatically applies the footprint conversion set, and it automatically compiles the results. As the user, of course, you will be setting up the structure of the analysis to reflect the site, as you've seen here in this demonstration. You'll provide the remedy inputs and documentation. So as Carlos was mentioning, you know, how far back or how detailed do you get and exhaustive do you get in your data collection, that's all up to you before you even open the CEFA worksheets. However, once you have that information, it's fairly easy to input it into CEFA and then get your results. So again, as a user, you enter the data directly into the CEFA worksheets. Your footprint analysis can be tailored to specific questions at your site. And again, to reiterate something that Carlos mentioned earlier, EPA is using CEFA at some of our cleanup sites already, and we welcome the use of CEFA by site owners and PRPs. So with that, I believe we can turn it back to the PowerPoint, Gene. And then if we need to get back into the worksheets, I guess we'll just switch again at that time.
Okay, that sounds good. So I'm pulling back up the Adobe Connect environment with your slides. Just a reminder for those participants, if you have questions or comments, you can continue to submit them in the Q&A window that appears in the lower right corner of your screen. Karen, whenever you're ready, feel free to carry on.
Okay, I actually think I'll pass it on to Carlos now for the moderation of the Q&A on the key features.
Great. Thanks, Karen. Thanks for covering that. That's a lot of material and a lot of detail. But getting into the guts of the CEFA really helps us understand how we can actually apply them. Now, that last question, the last point you made about use, I think that's it's one of the questions we got from the Internet participants, from Paul Favara. Hi, Paul. Good to have you on the webinar. Paul's question is, can you comment on how well utilized CEFA is in EPA? Is it commonly used, or is it in the emerging phase of usage in EPA? So like I'll take a first jab at that. That's a great question, Paul, and appreciate your bringing it up. We've mentioned earlier the training that we are doing on CIFA internally in the agency. We had a training at the last NARPM conference, and it was held in Atlanta. We had about 60 remedial project managers, and we did training on CIFA, but mostly on the types of questions we would ask of a CIFA analysis, and not so much on how to conduct one. Our project managers often have consulting engineering firms doing site support, and they may be the ones conducting that work. So that's one of the things we like to see, is that capability to use CIFA is out there in the private sector, in the companies that support us and others in cleaning up contaminated sites. We took a look at CIFA downloads. We've had about 900 spreadsheet downloads in the last year approximately. So, I mean, I think that's a healthy number, but it's not necessarily an indication of how much it's being used. At our FunLead sites, we have conducted a series of pilots at sites. We've also heard indirectly of RPMs using it on their own initiative. We would like to have, we are writing up some of these examples, but we would like to have more. So if any of you on the phone have used conducted footprint analyses at projects, be they Superfund sites, FunLead, or PRP lead, please do let us know. Of course, we do know that other tools are being used, particularly at federal facility sites, tools such as SiteWise and SRT, and some tools developed by consulting and engineering firms. So long answer to a short question. I hope it helps, though. And Karen, I was wondering if you have any thoughts. I know you've done a lot of site-specific support and have taken training to a couple of regions that I was not involved in, so maybe you have some more insights there on the use of CIFA within the EPA cleanups.
Yes, I'll just add to all of that that we are on the, I would say, beginning stages of applying CIFA actively at our sites and using the results to improve our sites and to reduce the footprint. And we have done footprint analyses at a number of different sites using the old CIFA, and we are looking forward very much to addressing additional sites with the new CIFA. And also mention, I think something that Carlos touched on briefly there, is that we actually don't envision our RPMs at EPA necessarily taking CIFA and running through a footprint analysis on their own. We expect that they will be directing their consultants and their contractors to run CIFA if they want a footprint analysis done at their site. So yes, we are targeting any RPM at EPA who knows that they want to do a footprint analysis at their site. We are helping them alert their contractor to the existence of CIFA and the footprint methodology, and the RPMs will be directing their contractors to follow the EPA footprint methodology when they do a footprint analysis, and to use CIFA as the most likely and handiest tool at hand, because it replicates or follows the EPA footprint methodology. So that's how we're acting in-house when our own RPMs ask their consultant or contractor to do a footprint analysis. And again, as far as footprint analysis already completed, we're in the beginning stages of that. We have a few sites where we have done footprint analysis using the old CIFA.
Sorry, I was on mute there. This is Carlos. Thank you, Karen. And thanks, Paul. Now we have another question that's a little bit more specific related to the material you just covered. Gene, heads up, you guys may be going back into the spreadsheet. It's a question from Sarah Handy. Her question is, can you add rows if there are not enough rows in a given entry section for all types of equipment, et cetera, that you may be using? Let me know if I need to repeat the question, Karen.
No, that's fine. That's a good question. And, Gene, we will need to go back into the worksheets. And as we're doing that, I'll just mention that, no, you cannot add rows, but I'll show you what you would do in that situation. So I believe the question is asking, for example, if you're, was it for equipment type? So let's say you have, there are how many rows here, maybe a dozen or maybe 10 rows. Let's say you have 12 pieces of equipment or 12 aspects of equipment that you want to model. You can't, that is, you cannot add a new row within the worksheet, but what we would recommend in that case is simply add a new tab. So you may have regrade 1 and regrade 2. You may have two regrade tabs, and then you would use those additional rows in the new tab to add the additional equipment, and then when you link them up, you would link them to the same remedy component, and then in your input summary tab, you would have simply regrade 1 and then regrade 2, which you can adjust here so that you make all the rest of the columns visible and then add your regrade 2. So you would have regrade 1, regrade 2, and that's how you would accommodate a situation where you may have more equipment than fits in the table. And, of course, that concept would also carry forward to if you have more of anything that would fit that that fits in any given table.
Okay, Sarah, let us know if that answers the question. And in the interim, since we're still open, we have another question related to the spreadsheets themselves. This is from Haley Beaven Simpson. The question, you're welcome, Sarah. The question is, the drop-down menus for waste disposal and for water use are not appearing in the live spreadsheet from the website. Other drop-downs have been fine. Is there a setting that needs to be changed? So again, seeing the drop-down menus, disposal and water use from the spreadsheets download from the website.
Okay. All right. That's too bad. So the question implies that you can see them when I drop down from the other drop-down menus. So if that's the case, for example, that you can see this one where I'm doing the material type, but you cannot see the other ones, I guess I'm not sure how we would get that available to be seen. But so in the interim, let's just hope that you can see that. And if not, I'll go ahead and read them off. So I'm in the Waste Disposal and Transportation drop-down menu. And your preloaded options for selection are off-site wastewater treatment to the POTW, waste sent for recycle and reuse on-site, waste sent for recycle and reuse off-site. We also have waste sent off-site to a non-hazardous waste landfill and waste sent off-site to a hazardous waste landfill. So those are your, I guess that's five preloaded options for waste destination. And then we also have an array, probably about 15 different options for user-designated waste destinations. And we don't have time for me to demonstrate how to make use of those user-defined options, but I will say that the instructions in CIFA do give clear instructions on how to use that, how to populate those user-defined options in the waste destination menu. Regarding water, I'll take a look at the drop-down menu for water. And in this case, the preloaded options for water usage, the source of water, we have public water, we have extracted groundwater, surface water, reclaimed water, and stormwater that's been collected or diverted as preloaded water types of water. I want to mention a couple of things here. First of all, as long as we're talking about water, the only type of water that CIFA does applies a footprint conversion calculations to. For, let me start that over. The only type of water that EPA, that CEFA applies footprint conversion factors to is public water. The rest of them, the extracted groundwater, surface water, and water, and stormwater, although you make the selection here, we assume that the footprint from that water is zero in CEFA. So what happens is the amount of water that's involved gets tabulated in CEFA, but no footprint for any or air emissions is calculated for that water situation. I'll also point out that there are two user-defined options, other water resource number one and other water resource number two. If you select those, you aren't going to have any footprint calculation applied to those either. The only thing that this is allowing you to do is use a specific name to identify that water source. So, for example, maybe we have in that situation something like reused groundwater or something like that. Some site-specific name that you want to give it just so that you can identify it for your own purposes. So that's what we have in the drop-down menu for water use.
Great, thanks, Karen. Now, Paul came back with a topic of follow-up question to this one that is whether we don't have some of the material inventories that already contain data for embedded water. And related to that, a more general question I wanted to ask, and that's a question that we've been getting, is whether CEFA has the ability for a user to add site-specific remedy materials with a unique footprint conversion factors. So two related questions there. One, do the material inventories include embedded water footprints, and whether or not CEFA allows users to enter site-specific materials with unique conversion factors. Karen?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, that's okay.
To answer the first question about public water, we do have embedded footprint conversion factors for public water. And those are default footprint conversion factors in CEFA, and we provide a reference for where we get that those footprint conversion factors. In the CEFA workbooks, we have references for all of our footprint conversion factors. Again, we do not provide footprint conversion factors for any of the other water sources that are that you see here on the drop-down menu. On the second question about whether the user can provide their own footprint conversion factor for their own unique materials, the answer is yes in general. As I mentioned, you don't have that opportunity for water, at least not directly through the water drop-down menu. You could make it work for water by adding it as a material in as in one of the user-defined footprint, one of the user-defined materials under the material use and transfer table. So that's one way you could do a different kind of water that you have the footprint for. And as I mentioned earlier, you can provide unique footprint conversion factors for any material at all by using the user-defined materials option here in the materials use table. And again, I can demonstrate how to do that if that seems to be of interest. That was going to be in the last part of our webinar session. If that's something that seems to be of interest, I can demonstrate how that's done. It'll be about a 7 or 8 minute demonstration. And let's see, what was I also going to mention? I think that takes care of that question. Did I hit all of the aspects of that question?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. There's one more, and then we might go straight to that demonstration you just mentioned. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I think we're very tight on time. Jean, let me know we're right. I think this is a 2 hour from 11:30 to 1:30.
I've got about 11 minutes or so left, so I think the demo might be the perfect way to close things out today.
So let me just ask another question that I know we've gotten a lot of. It's a a lot of questions about, and that is we just described a particular, possibly a particular material with a very unique footprint conversion factor, but what about modifying existing conversion factor for example, that's already embedded in CIFA for local fuel mix of grid electricity? Is that something that users can change?
Yes, that was going to be the second demonstration that I was going to make, but and that is a very quick one, and I can walk us through that.
Okay, well, let's go there.
Yeah, let's just go there. So, but I think another kind of aspect of that original question of that question was something about what if we have different footprint conversion factors? Let's say we have concrete, and you don't like the footprint conversion factors that are in CIFA because you can look at them and view them and see what they are. You can put in your own footprint conversion factors for your concrete simply by naming it as a different material. You could call it concrete. We just give it your own name, name it as concrete and your own name, and then enter your own footprint conversion factors. So that's a way you could, if a material is already in CIFA, but you have better, more accurate footprint conversion factors, you can add it as your own material. Regarding grid electricity, I won't actually go through the example, but I will show that we do have a way to override the grid electricity mix. What we have in CIFA at the outset when you download it from the CLUIN website is a default set of for the fuel mix for your grid electricity. And this is based on the U.S. average in 2009. So if your mix is different, you simply replace your fuel grid mix here. And as an example, the example I was going to give is Northern California Pacific Gas and Electric has the following grid mix. So I just add or replace the fuel mix with the one that I have that I've researched for my site. Let's see here. I was going to go with a 3. I got a little bit mixed up there in terms of my data entry. If this all adds up to 100, then everything is fine. And let's see, what did I do? Anyway, that's how you would add up, that's how you would enter your own fuel mix. You need to have it add up to 100, in which case you will not have the error here. And you can add a local fuel mix for your fuel, for your grid electricity at your site. You can specify a different fuel mix for each remedy component of your site by clicking this drop-down menu. And now I could add my fuel mix for each of the remedy components at my site if it happens to be different. If you have yes here, then you simply are telling CIFA that this fuel mix goes for all remedy components at your site. So that's how you specify a unique fuel mix for your site. And I should mention that we strongly recommend that you do this, that you add your local fuel mix and not use the U.S. average. And you can probably find your local fuel mix fairly easy by accessing your local grid electricity provider on the Internet. That's where I got the grid mix for Pacific Gas and Electric, and pretty much every grid electricity provider will be able to provide you that information one way or the other if you do the research. And again, it's fairly easy to enter the information. The hard part, the part that you have to do the extra effort for is finding that information to add on the fuel mix.
Do you want to go to the second part of the demo?
Which was adding a new user-defined factor? Yes. So if you see this tab here in the input workbook, it's the user-defined factors. And I'm going to zoom in a little bit here. And without going into too much detail, as you remember, we had from the drop-down menu, we saw for materials that lime, clean fill, and drain rock were already entered. If I have a new material, so for example, I may have a treatment mix that I know is specific to my site and I know the footprint too. I simply add information, let me say pounds, across the board here, and to roll up, we'll notice that we're going with what are the units that I have that material in, and convert that to tons. And then I add my footprint conversion factors. And these can be, these will be what I've researched on my own. And I'm not going to add them now because that's just me typing in numbers that are fake numbers anyway. So, but you would type in your footprint conversion factors for the energy required to produce that material and for the greenhouse gas emissions resulting from manufacturing of that material, as well as the NOx, SOx, PM, and HAPS resulting from manufacturing that material. That's what you would enter here. And it's all of that information per pound of material manufactured. Once I enter that information into the user-defined factors tab in the input workbook, then I can go back. Let's just say I'm in my pump and treat tab. Go back to the materials drop-down menu, and where I originally had the default other treatment materials and chemicals selected from the drop-down menu, I now see that treatment mix A, B, and C, where it used to be user-defined material number 4, now I can select my user-defined material that I entered, and now CIFA is using that the new footprint conversion factors that I entered. They're using that to apply to my treatment mix A, B, and C, rather than the default conversion factors that are already uploaded in into CIFA for other treatment chemicals and materials. So that's how it works to add a material that's unique to your site or that's missing in CIFA.
Great, I appreciate that, Karen. And with that, I think we are just a few minutes short of the end of the time allotted for the webinar, so I wanted to see if there's anything else you want to add. Otherwise, we'll move on toward the wrap-up.
The only thing I'll add is that, as we've mentioned a couple of times, there are a lot of different features in CIFA, a lot of useful features in CIFA that we were not able to highlight in this webinar. We tried to focus on some of the more fundamental and most widely used features in CIFA, but if you would like to understand more of the options and flexibility, options for flexibility in CIFA, I encourage you to open the CIFA worksheets and take a look at the instructions and tabs, the tabs in green, intro and instructions in the main workbook, and then the various instruction tabs in the input workbook to help you understand the ways that CIFA can be used to more accurately model your site. And with that, I'll just close saying thank you for your attention and interest in CIFA, and thank you for your questions and comments.
Okay, Carlos, I think we'll probably walk through a few final reminders before we close things out today. But before I do that, was there anything else you wanted to share with the audience?
No, I think that's it. We have a quick wrap-up slide. I have some talking points, but I think I'll refer back to some of the opening statements we made in the first 5 slides as far as the bigger picture with respect to CIFA. That it definitely ties in closely with our greener cleanups. It's one way of quantifying environmental footprints that we are deploying inside the agency, and it's for public use, and we encourage others to use it if it meets their needs. I pointed out where they are available on the CLUIN website, and that if you have conducted a footprint analysis of your own and you're happy with the results and you'd like to share it, we would certainly like to hear about it. Maybe write it up as a case study for inclusion on the CLUIN website and maybe for use in future webinars, which is probably what we will be focusing on, is examples of where it's been applied and what decisions the footprint quantification has informed. So I appreciate your time again, as always, Gene, for running this webinar for us, and all of those who have participated. Thank you for finding the time to do so, and Karen, of course, much appreciate your help getting us to where we are and continuing to deploy this this tool as we move forward. So with that, I hand it back to you, Gene, and thanks again.
All right, excellent. Thank you so very much, Carlos. I'm going to share just a few final words, how you can access the materials that were shared today and share feedback after today's live broadcast. Again, I want to thank the nearly 60 people who were able to join us from around the country today for today's live broadcast. For those of you that are looking for copies or tracking your participation in our webinars, we do have an online tool where you can enter in your own email address. And if you type in your email address, we will send you an automated table that lists all of the webinars that you attended live. We're working on updating that to include archived ones that you may have replayed. But for now, we can at least send you a lookup table listing all the webinars that you attended live. If you need additional help documenting your participation today, well, there's another thing you can do. We do have a short feedback form that we would ask participants, if you can, to follow the links. They're available under web links. They will also remain part of the recorded version, so if you're replaying today's webinar, you too can follow the links under web links to seminar feedback. If you fill out that online form and share your thoughts both on the method as well as the content that we presented today, there will be a box you can check. As long as your email address is entered correctly and that box is checked, we will send you an automated email which will at least confirm you submitted feedback after the live event. Usually a copy of the slides or a printout of the seminar homepage along with this confirmation email is enough to document your participation if you're trying to earn CEUs or PDHs. But if you need additional assistance, you're certainly welcome to email me directly at balance.gene@epa.gov. As mentioned, the slides and CEFA spreadsheets are all available off the seminar homepage and links pages, and we will automatically send a link to replay today's recorded session as soon as we have it available. It usually takes us about 1 to 2 weeks, so you can keep your eyes peeled for an email from me as well in that time frame. Thank you again so much for joining us, as well as a great big thank you to both of our presenters for sharing their information today. I hope that you all found this to be a valuable expenditure of your time, and that we'll see you or hear from you on a future Clue and webinar. This will be the formal conclusion of today's live broadcast.